Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and each day for the last week, as some of you know, we've been looking ahead to the summer's Olympic Games in London and talking to some hometown favorites competing for spots on the U.S. teams. So far, we've spoken to athletes competing in tennis, track and field, fencing, boxing, swimming, and gymnastics. Today, we're joined by two equestrian athletes, Sinead Halpin, based in Pittstown, New Jersey, and Donna Ponessa, a para-equestrian based in Millbrook, New York. Welcome, Donna and Sinead, to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having us.
And Donna, you're looking to compete, I see, in the event called Dressage in the Paralympic Games in London in early September, which is just after the Olympic Games, where you and Sinead are hoping to compete in equestrian eventing. So, Donna, first explain what dressage is. I've heard it described as horse ballet.
Yeah, it is. If you look at the literal term, it means the training of a horse. But what it really is, it's like you're dancing with the horse. And in dressage, what you're asked to do is you ride different tests. And what is required of you is your horse has to perform a precise movement at a specific spot in the ring at different gates, and it's supposed to look effortless. And, you know, that would be dressage and also para-dressage.
And, Sinead, you're in eventing, which includes dressage and jumping, I understand, and you compete over the course of 3 days?
Yep. It's called three-day eventing, and it's actually a military. It started in the military, and it's kind of the triathlon of horse sports is what it's referred to most of the time. And we have the same horse through all 3 days, and we start with dressage, and that's to train the horses. Again, that would be going into war to be obedient and responsive at all times. And then you go out on the cross country, which is basically what it sounds like. They jump ditches, walls, waters, banks. I mean, at certain events in Europe, you jump cars. In Ireland, you'll probably jump a tractor.
Wow.
And then the horse comes back on the third day and does the show jumping, which a lot of people are familiar with. So the horse that's meant to be brave and jumps basically through fire the day before then has to come back as a tired horse and still be careful and accurate over the show jumps where you get penalized if you, you know, knock a pole down. So it's a pretty exciting sport.
Do the horses feel that fear or only you?
It depends on the horse. they're trained from a very young age. An average age of a horse that would be going to the Olympic Games would be, you know, probably 12 to 14, some on the lower end, some on the higher end of that. But they're trained their whole life to get to the advanced level. So hopefully by the time they're there, they just feel a bit of excitement.
Donna, for people who don't know your story, in college you were diagnosed with a rare form of multiple sclerosis. You are paralyzed, I understand, from the chest down and need the assistance of a ventilator to breathe. But before you became a world-class para-equestrian, I read you became one of the world's leading wheelchair tennis players. What brought you to horses?
I rode as a child. I rode mostly jumpers. I started at the age of 9. And after I became disabled, I didn't really think it was possible to ride because all I ever saw was therapeutic riding. And when you've done a lot of 100 paces and jumped, you really don't want to be led around on a horse on a lead rope. So I've always been really viciously competitive. So that's when I turned my sights to wheelchair tennis. For an outlet for my competitive spirit. And then I read about this whole thing about the, you know, para-equestrian dressage and para-equestrian sports, and I realized it was possible to be competitive on horseback. So what I did was, it was in 2007 that I made a deal with myself that if I could get off the ventilator long enough to ride, then I would get back into riding again. And it wasn't until 2010 that I went to a training camp for potential para-equestrians where I was told that I had the talent to actually pursue, you know, really competitive para-dressage, and that's when I was hooked. So I've been a lifelong horse lover and competitive rider and athlete.
It's an incredible story, and you have a full-time job as the program manager at the Westchester Putnam Independent Living Center, so somehow you train working around that. You've accomplished so much, overcome so much. What would it mean to you to compete in the Paralympics?
Everything. You know, it's a lot of people who aren't athletes, they don't get why you basically put your life on hold for years to train for this. It is just the ultimate honor to be able to represent your country at these games where athletes from all over the world come and showcase their abilities. To me, there is just nothing that I would be prouder to do. And like I said, I work 24/7 just about to try to get there.
Mm. And Sinead, I gather you grew up in a horse family. Your mother grew up with horses in Galway, Ireland. You grew up in South Carolina where you had horses. And in the summers in high school, you trained in Virginia, more recently in Europe. How'd you land in New Jersey?
I have no idea. I mean, I think you just kind of keep walking through doors, don't you? I mean, I was in Middleburg, Virginia for about 10 years and ran into a few. I was just having some hard times. I had some injuries and had some horse injuries and had an opportunity to train in Europe. And so went to Europe for a couple of years and came back, and I had some peers in New Jersey that said it was basically a huge mecca of horse sports, but not necessarily with the three-day eventing. So I went up basically for a month to see if I was going to be able to have enough business to survive in the area, and I found that that area of New Jersey and New York is just fabulous for horses and horse sports, and I fell in love with it, so I've been there for a couple of years.
There definitely is horse country in New Jersey, for people who didn't know. It's kind of the northwestern part of the state. Is that where you are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
How does it work? Do you compete with only one horse? Donna, are both you and your horse named on the Olympic team? If you qualify with one horse, you only bring that horse to London, or not really?
Yeah, that's correct. What you need to do is, prior to selection trials, which are going to be held in June, you have to, you're just judged on yourself as a rider. What you need to do is earn a certificate of capability, which means that you ride, you need to score a 60% or above in your grade at least one three-star event.
And we're going to run out of time. Sinead, how do you bring your horse to London? You can't stow it under the seat in front of you, right?
No, we fly them. They'll FedEx them over there. a lot of these horses. My horse has gone to it's gone to Holland. It's gone to England, and he's a good flyer. He's got his frequent flyer miles. So a lot of times they'll even be on passenger planes, and the passengers won't even know it. They'll just be in the back cargo section.
Does that plane, in that case, only carry horses?
Yes, the ones that'll be shipping the horses over to Europe will just be carrying horses, and then they go into. A few days of quarantine, and I know that the event team will be sending about 10 horse and rider combinations over in June, and the horses will stay and acclimate for a month.
Leave it there with Sinead Halpin from Pittstown, New Jersey, Donna Panessa, Millbrook, New York. Look forward to seeing both of you in the Olympics and Paralympics this summer. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Quick note about Elaine Pagels, our previous guest. She'll be reading from her book on Revelation on Thursday, March 22nd, at the Barnes & Noble on East 86th and Lexington Avenue.